The Seduction of the Darkest Whale, written by Kay, read by Twilight. They're standing in the yard, pretending not to be listening to Don and Mikey squabble affectionately inside of the farmhouse. The light is butter yellow in the window, and something akin to monotone outside, where they are largely failing to be alone when they are together. Raph can count the yards between them and multiplies them into inches. Leo has one hand on the hilt of his ninjaken, the other against the house's peeling paint. But as close as he may be, he couldn't be any further when he speaks. Do you ever get that feeling that the whole universe is moving around you? Like, if you stood still, it would all just come in full circle at your feet? No, says Raph, but it's a lie. He can't remember what he came out here to do. There is no wind tonight, only the scent of the lake in the distance and that feeling that he's caught on a wire above all this, dangling, waiting, raw. He thinks, inexplicably, that they're not going to make it. Raph likes the way Leo smiles with his eyes, the crinkling at the corners. He'd never tell his brother that, but it's one of the few things that won't piss him off. That and the rumble of a bike against his ankle, cold noodles for lunch, and wrestling so good he can see the sweat droplets hit the camera. Sure, everything else Leo does raises his hackles, but sometimes there's that smile. He wishes, grudgingly, he knew what it meant. Figures the fact he doesn't probably accounts for his reaction to it. There are nights where he doesn't go out with Casey, but he still comes back with slick blood between his fingers and grit in his knuckles. Leo can scold all he wants, his teeth bared, fierce in his worry. It feels like splinters in Raph's stomach on the worst nights when the sickness becomes the strongest in him. But Raph needs those hours. They're precious to him, like his family. Pieces of him. Better ways to get to sleep. Leo never smiles with his eyes when Raph comes back staggering, but there's something else there. A glimmer of darkness that matches the alleys from which Raph had just returned. An identical streak of recklessness that says tomorrow he won't regret what he says or does, so long as tonight gives him the answer he's looking for. Raph wonders what his question is and where it's going to lead them. He thinks maybe to the jungle again. They aren't prone to talking about things that matter. Leo's words mean too much, Raph's way too little. Over the run of a brother's blood, they manage to make the most important conversations of their lives. That, or in the hushed quiet of aftermath, Leo offering what Raph can't, Raph never accepting what Leo won't withdraw, leaving a hovering sense of displacement for them both. Like somehow Leo had handed something vital, life-beating, into Raph's hands, and it's too precious to drop, but Raph doesn't dare to keep it. They both just end up empty that way. These days, Raph feels like a victory means less about busting some punk in and more about managing a gruff mornin' that appears genuine. It's like a slideshow. The chipped white mug Leo has claimed as his own, cupped to trap the warmth, and the alert clarity despite the hour in Leo's eyes. The pad of thickly skinned feet on brick in the kitchen. The cartoon stickers Mikey stuck to the side of the icebox. A sink Donnie still has to fix, and then, like a sore spot, Raph walking into their lives again. Some days, Raph feels like he doesn't belong here. Some days, he remembers Leo telling him, "I'll need you too," and it's all that keeps his head above water, because maybe, just maybe, it is true. Raph wonders, if he ever starts talking about stuff, what will he say? Things about that steel insect that creeps up his esophagus when he's ready to scream? The way winter settles hard on his re-knitted bones, and it's too much when Leo lays it on him in December, it'd be better just to back off. Maybe he'll just mumble about that time he wished his sigh were 2 inches to the left, if only for a split second. and how so often those 2 inches are the miles Raph sees between them. Maybe what he wanted was to be inside of his brother then, to understand. Maybe by ripping Leo bare, he can open himself, and they won't have to speak at all. This is not going to simply heal. Wounds get infected, pucker and discolor and sting. Don smells like antiseptic after a mission, and Raph goes to his room before he's dragged into letting things close up. He's always nursed his own battle scars. Like this, Raph watches Leo until it seems his entire body is going to shake to pieces with it. Acidic bile in his throat only means he's alive. He wants, and that isn't the illness, only the side effect. Raph dreams about running through the sewers, following a name carved into the tunnel walls with the edge of hope that's long been wearing down. Every grate that appears fleetingly above his head gives him a glimpse into the purple bruises of the sky pressed entirely too close against the bars. The world has somehow recomposed itself until there is nothing on the surface. It is only their world and the atmosphere, the clouds settling on the ceiling like wispy drapes. Raph passes a yellow raincoat hung on a hook, a bowl of old boxing gloves, blood dotted against the red fabric, and a ladder made out of headphones that Donnie threw away after realizing no one is listening after all. He catches, like a moth beat against a bright light, flashes of Leo ahead of him. Raph doesn't know what Leo is running from, but his footprints are furrows in the mud. He's lagging, barely mustering the energy. Moonlight streaks like paint across his limbs before he disappears around each corner. They are only pushing back against the inevitable. Raph is waiting, for some reason, for Leo to stop, to turn around and, voice torn with bated breath, ask if he'll join him. Do you ever get that feeling that the whole universe is moving around you? Like, if you stood still, it would all just come in full circle at your feet? It's like Leo reads his mind, plucking things out and hitting them on the nail just to fuck with Raph's head. Sometimes Raph is struck at odd moments with how circular everything seems. It hits him in strange places. Rooftops 2 hours before sunrise, watching Mikey kick Don's ass with their Sega. When during a kata, Leo drags his blade across the air, like he's cutting the throat of an invisible person standing next to him, just as tall, just as steady as himself. The thought flits against Raph's conscience that if he stays like this, nothing's going to change. Everything that his brothers were, is glued to his heart like a soaked bag of salt. It's as if the city of New York is slowly spinning around him, lights moving in coordination with the tilt of a head, the white noise of television sets and car horns caught in the back of his jaw where his molars grow. It's like standing far above, or stuck in the core, a place removed and yet molten, that counts as worth it in his short list. The sun flares and the night falls, and Raph is frozen, unwilling, waiting for something, anything, to come back to him. He is shoved rudely back into his soul when Leo lets out a long breath, the sword lowering gracefully to point at the floor. When Mikey crows in triumph and Don groans into the pillow, when the first slip of orange flickers into the sky. Do you ever? He's so far removed from mad, it's not funny. At the very least, he can't be crazy if Leo's speaking his language. And then Raph reckons that maybe they both have an orbit that is fusing together, some magnetic draw that leads Raph to imagining what it'd be like to touch Leo as if he might actually be real. Over breakfast, Leo was quiet, and Raph pretends to read the newspaper until Donnie steals the crossword. The kettle on the stove still hasn't gone. Raph is counting the seconds silently until Leo stands and leaves him to relax. The curve to Leo's jaw as he bends and peacefully twists the knob, finally, is unusually soft. It's the lighting and the exhaustion that makes it blur, Raph thinks tiredly, and then he folds the paper the wrong way, sets it by Donnie's elbow. Raph knows the routine. Leo is reaching up to grab his mug when Raph already clatters it, none too gently, against the counter. He walks out, ignoring the murmur behind him. 27 down is force majeure, and Donnie will get it soon, but Raph had got it first. It's not what it seems like. It could be an awful lot like it, though, Raph decides grudgingly. Maybe that wouldn't be so bad. He'll take a little something over nothing. And that's the first night he dreams about sheets and silence and a pulsed thready under his thumb. You're not concentrating. His heart is beating in staccato, fierce and piercing. Raph could close his eyes and map its exact timing. A perfect machine. But the action seems almost pointless. Instead, he ignores Leo, concentrating on other things, that's all. They just can't agree on priorities and views, a lesson Leo can't learn and Raph frustratingly can't explain, and finishes the kata. He doesn't have Leo's grace in the practice. For Raph, all he can hope to do is put his strength behind each movement. It is a habit that makes their father shake his head, whiskers quivering fondly, but Leo seeks it like a target. You're half a beat off, Leo tells him firmly. Try slowing down a little. Shove off, Raph grumbles. I'll do it how I wanna. Leo huffs. The wrong way? Yeah, Leo, the wrong way. Why are you always so stubborn? Leo makes an exasperated sound that Raph can tell is bordering on angry, running a hand over his head. You know you'll just have to practice it even more later if you keep on like this. So I will. Go piss off someone who actually cares. Leo is silent. No, he finally says, just when Raph is beginning to think he might actually win the battle today. But where Raph expects heated words, perhaps folded arms and a cold lecture, there is only the brush of fingers on his arms. Raph jerks away automatically, but Leo stills and orders, let me. And as much as he wants to snap something nasty and stomp off, Raph is curious. This is new. We call it a limb, Leo. The joke rolls off sour. You know the kata and have plenty of force, Leo says quietly. He picks up Raph's arm again, ignoring the resulting scowl and stiffening. It's how you follow through with it that's the problem. The damp sewer air is cool, and Leo's hands are warm as they guide Raph's fist forward. Here. Again. Huh? Do it like you were before, Leo insists, and Raph rolls his eyes but complies. It'll serve Leo right anyway if he gets pulled off balance with the punch. He tenses his muscles and puts the most velocity into it that he can, imagining, as always, the face of an enemy in front of him. That's what these exercises are for when it comes down to it anyway. But there is an immediate difference. Leo's tight hold slows him, a pressure pushing back against his own strength that causes Raph to strain forward. The movement, which had once been swift and brutal, is instead an exertion, the restraint of a mountain with the flow of a river. It looks good. Tempered power, Leo murmurs, gaze fixed on his fingers around Raph's wrist, is far deadlier than a flood of it. What flood? Raph's mouth is dry like the desert. It's the heavy cluster of darkness in Leo's eyes instead that speaks of chill and deluge. He thinks maybe it never started so much as flickered into existence. Like over the years, pieces have been blotting the big picture, and only now can he step back and see the ink has consumed the image. One big black spot. Raph can remember strange thrills and childhood adventures and the changes that involved growing up. more than just stronger bones and strained muscles, better teeth. Leo slowly fading into the background, watching instead of playing. Raph had eventually given him up for Mikey. It's something he doesn't think about until now. He wants to ask Leo, wants to know if Leo knew this would happen, and if it hurt anyway. Their entire lives they've worked together. Leo controls Raph's explosions, keeping the blast radius as small as possible. Raph finds ways to let the poison seep out of his brother, lets the pressure escape for a bit, breaks it down for him. They are two blocks of wood pressed against each other. But wood cracks, and the grain rubs badly. It was a mistake for Splinter to disengage the supports from each other for as long as a year and a half. That much freedom, they'd nothing to do but overextend and fall. Well, that's what Donnie told him one night between sharing a bottle of vodka. Leo will never know, because it's Donnie, not Raph. And karma seems to make those distinctions, and also because Leo is in bed, forbidden from leaving. The words were strange to hear. Raph reckoned he'd figured that out in different ways, but never had to actually envision it. It always seemed so natural that it hadn't required consideration. They're still putting pieces back together, Donnie and Raph, but they started small that night. Raph had helped Leo limp back into their lair. The bruises were muted against his skin, but Raph still loathed the sight of them. Don checked him over for damage, and everyone had been relieved by the verdict. Raph remembers how Leo had glanced up at him, a half-smile wavering on his weary features. How they'd put him to bed together, Donnie and Raph, Mikey grasping one last hug, and Leo'd slept as soon as he hit the sheets. Don's three fingers splayed against his forehead, Raph hovering anxiously in the background, shame still burning in his chest. Maybe Donnie had sensed it, because he'd taken out the alcohol tiredly, and that's where they found themselves 3 hours later. In the lab, he hadn't been in there for months, and it was more like coming home than he cared to admit, laughing huskily, eyes bleary and truth loosened free by the sting of the vodka. "You can go back to the way things were," Don had told him, longing stirring in his voice. "Maybe we all can now." Raph had clutched at the idea, but now Raph thinks it's not that easy. That maybe, reluctantly, Master Splinter had been right all along. They had to be free of each other before they could stand on their own. Raph is looking at Leo, and Leo is looking at Raph, and for the first time in years, they're on the same level. Outside of themselves, almost. What he sees scares the shit out of Raph. It also steals his breath away. "Hey, Leo. What is it? You ain't better than me." He'd meant to ask Leo to pass the cereal box. Across the table, Leo was suddenly still, and then suddenly not, deflating into himself. His brother's head dips until it meets his chest, a single nod. Raph reaches for the cereal himself. "So long as we both know it," he mutters, yanking his bowl closer to himself. After a long minute, Leo takes a sip of tea, and, despite his pallor, chuckles faintly for the first time in what feels like fucking ages to Raph. It shouldn't be that easy. Sometimes it is. Raph finds his center only in dire situations. He can remember Master Splinter leading him to it as a child. He knows its location intimately, but grasping it is a more frustrating problem. More often than not, he manages to delve into it only in desperation, fleeting and intuitive, over serious threat to family or life. For the most part, Raph's okay with it. Unbalanced, fighting like a scrap dog any which way he can so long as he takes out the guy in the end. Never needed to be perfect. They have plenty of other brothers for that sort of thing. It's getting easier to capture, though. Like a flashlight whose batteries are dying, it flickers in and out, catching him off guard at weird moments. Standing in front of the microwave, playing a board game with Don. It's so subtle, Rap hadn't noticed it at first, settling into his core as though slipping his weapons into his belt. Then it gets harder to disregard. A warm buildup where his heart muscles should be working. Not deep in the belly like Mikey's, or the temple like Donnie's, or even Leo's firm shoulders. Raph's center is always working, always hot-blooded and deep, tangible proof of his life. It's like, okay, he's not going to say something cliche like he's growing up, but he's changing. Steadier. Softer. Not sure how he feels about either of those things, though. Leo, too, is adjusting. So minute, Raph doesn't notice until Don points it out in wonder. To a difference. He settles lighter on his feet than before. Raph has heard of a center traveling. For a while, Don's had fluttered erratically about his ribcage, like playing the piano before heading straight north. But this is much tinier. Leo's head tilting up or down further, as though stretching his neck. A slight lean forward instead of standing straight. A precise drift elsewhere. Raph doesn't figure out where until he comes home at 3 a.m. after running around with Casey one night. He's tired and gritty in a satisfying way. Leo is reading a book in the living room, probably waiting to lecture him, the prick. And a hand rests, absent-minded, against his defined collarbone. And with only that, Raph can feel his center, skip a beat, fill him once more. As if somehow this has made them closer than ever. He's an idiot. He's such an idiot. He's going to rip apart this punching bag and leave the mess because he's such an idiot. Raph wishes he could know who he's cursing with such fervor in his head. This has to stop, somehow. He'll take any way out. It's going to end so badly, and he's not ready. And he's such an idiot. It's not really beautiful, that's the point. If Leo were perfect, Raph would want nothing to do with him. Instead, it's that fracture, the sheen of a line broken down the middle of his brother's face, always shifting, that begs to have the tension. Raph would pry it open further with his fingers. He would have it crack. A fissure so deep he can't reach the bottom no matter how he strains. He can see in it, like behind the third of his brother's masks, someone with rattling breath reaching back. If they were human, if flesh replaced shell, followed by teeth too small and precise to smile with, it'd all be different. Raph obsesses over the little stuff he'll never have. Sneakers that fry in the cement in the summer. Palms that sweat. Coffee handed to him by a stranger. Then, not a morning later, he thinks he doesn't need any of that shit. He doesn't regret, but it doesn't stop him from wondering about it. Leo needs, but it's different. Alien. What Leo wants isn't something that can be found above a manhole, but further into the earth. It requires delving. If Leo were human, he'd be the one that is shattered beyond repair. But then, the fact that he's not is what makes Leo something not really beautiful. Sometimes Raph doesn't mind his own sicknesses. Sometimes they're like old friends, brothers in arms that could sit down one day and share a few laughs at the good old times. Sometimes when he's on the verge of sleeping, Leo's with the crowd too, smoke hovering like a halo over his head, and gaze distant towards the east. Here's how it goes in the end. It's not the way Leo shouts his name when Raph goes down in the alley, pain buckling his knees and sending him crashing. The cement is sticky and damp. He clutches his bicep, and maroon splatters in droplets over the ground. Stupid. It'd been a stupid mistake. It's not that he thinks he's going to die. It's just a dumb bullet graze, a burn already fading. Because Raph doesn't change his mind just because the lifeline seems a bit shorter. He's used to that. It's definitely not the tug of Don's hands and then the way Leo hoarsely says his name, helping him up before he shrugs them off. Leo grabs him again, refusing to let go until he's checked the wound, and Raph snarls something at him he doesn't remember. It's not how later, after they've escaped in shambles, Mikey limping and blood streaked over half of Don's face, Leo keeps sliding his eyes towards Raph as if studying him. This is only another night, like any other. Mikey dozes on the sofa, and Don retreats to his room, the headache he no doubt has not preventing him from clinging to a few hours of work. Raph tugs a blanket over Mikey's legs tiredly, and then goes straight to his room. Bed has never sounded better. He collapses into the hammock rather than being careful. His arm flares in agony, but Raph just grits his teeth and closes his eyes. It's not that Leo pauses outside of his door, a presence in stone impossible not to be aware of, and says his name, very soft. "What do you want?" There's silence, and for a second, Raph thinks he's alone again. But then Leo opens the door and leans against the door jamb, quietly watching him. It's hard to see his face with the light from the hallway. "Raph," he says, "are you ever going to take risks with stuff that's important to you, or will you always use what's important to me?" His entire being feels like it lurches out of the shell of his body. Raph swallows. "You saying something?" Leo tilts his head, eyes very clear. Then he shuts the door. Raph gets it, but that's not why either. It'd be too easy to ignore all of this. Really, maybe, it's just time. Raph, he ain't so good at running away. Ain't so good at pretending to be something else. Not like Leo, an identical streak of recklessness that says tomorrow he won't regret what he says or does, so long as tonight gives him the answer he's looking for. And that's why it ends where it began so long ago, with Leo asking a question. It doesn't lead to the jungle. It leads instead to a place where Raph can follow, into the swallow of shadows where he can't see anything. The door to Leo's room is open. He closes it. It's gonna go so wrong, so fast, that Raph doesn't know how exactly he's supposed to do this without wrecking something important. He's braver than most. He sucks up enough air and finds that backbone again, fused to his shell. That voice that whispers when something is right, when he can take justice, how to get a little peace when he can afford it. Sometimes it sounds like their father, other times like Leo, but mostly it sounds like Raph. And that's why he trusts it. Leo, brother, stirs at his touch. He opens black, hazy eyes and looks at Raph, seeing but blind. Then he turns to see the cold steel of the sigh lodged in his bed 2 inches from his head. Raph waits. It's going to go so wrong, so fast, so right. It starts with the slide of fingertips against the metal. Then a grip. Leo yanks it up easily with his strength. Then he presses the sigh against his own neck. Raph shudders. Leo whispers Raph's name, inaudible, and Raph's been wrong all along. It's not those 2 inches that matter at all. It's the 2 inches that Leo closes when he arches up, breath hitching, and where Raph meets him, cheek sliding against cheek. It's in the rough-hewn landscape of his brother's plastron, in the tenderness he accepts Raph with as he brings him into the embrace of every fragment of his being. They have never been so close since they were children, but this is profoundly different. The sigh clatters to the floor, forgotten. Leo's arms are warm behind his neck. Like a spinning top, it all falls between them, Words Raph doesn't need to hear, truths he doesn't need to glimpse. They end where they begin, clutching at each other in the dark. They're standing in the yard, pretending not to listen to Don and Mikey squabble affectionately inside of the farmhouse. The light is butter yellow in the window, and something akin to monotone outside, where they are largely failing to be alone when they are together. Raph can count the yards between them and multiplies them into inches. Leo has one hand on the hilt of his ninjakin, the other against the house's peeling paint, but as close as they may be, he couldn't be any further when he speaks. Do you ever get that feeling that the whole universe is moving around you? Like, if you stood still, it would all just come in full circle at your feet? Raph considers this. Leo returns from where he'd gone, but he balances on the soles of his feet awkwardly, as if caught on a wire above all of this, dangling, waiting, raw. The inches aren't so many as the yards suddenly. Yeah, says Raph. It's their first conversation. It's a lie. Rather, the whole universe seems to be on a pinpoint that Raph pushes over gently and leaves resting on the grass. He thinks, inexplicably, that they're gonna make it. The end.